Smile. You're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Live from Long Island's oldest studio, WGBB 1240 on your dial. It's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air.
Oh, the Spirit of sweet Jesus.
Right here with us right now, and gee, Al, I hate to be talking over your city. I hate doing that to you. We've been doing this for the past couple of weeks, and I told Al today when he starts singing or talking, I'm going to start humming just so we can have equal time.
This is Al's newest rendition, his newest record, and it was made specifically for Listen Up by Al Barbarino.
A privilege to do it, to say the least. All right, now, would you please be quiet and listen to your own music?
That's right.
Mind if I may say, this couple was just about ready to celebrate their 50th anniversary, like some other people I know. And the wife said to her husband, "Hon, do you love me?" And the husband says, "Yeah." She says, well, you'd never say you love me. And he says, I told you 50 years ago I love you. If I change my mind, I'll let you know. But that's not the way it works. Jesus needs to be told every day that we love him and we thank him. And there are two people I tell every day I love them. And that's my wife, Joan, and that's Jesus. Jesus hears me. Sometimes I don't think Joan hears me because it's 3 o'clock in the morning and she's sleeping. But that's just the way it is.
You know, I want to tell a story because it's like telling a real deep, dark secret. You know, Tony and I have worked together now for several weeks, and we were seeing each other almost every day trying to get things together. He knows what I'm going to say. So does Al.
I think I do.
And I called him up before Valentine's Day because we're now live, and I said, Tony, where are you? Anyway, when he showed up on Valentine's Day, this ex-Marine brought me a box of chocolate candy.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that. You still have that candy? I want to give it to Al.
I'll eat it, you know that.
You know, we do have a lot of shows that talk about healing. And one of the things we want to let you know, we have developed newsletters relating to the show. And the one that we're willing to email to you, only by email, not by hard mail, because that costs money, is allowing Jesus to heal damaged emotions. And so if you email us at
listen up 1240 at AOL.com. That's LISTENUP 1240 at AOL.com.
And we'll email them to you free charge. And last week when Eileen Tarallo was here talking about the prayer groups that she works with who are focusing on the Catechism of the Catholic Church, we've neglected to mention we will also email you, if you wish, the prayer lessons that those prayer groups go through, focusing on prayer in the Catechism. You know, the whole show is about finding all different avenues, all different ways to be open to God's love. And he just can't wait for you to say, you know, could you help me with this? And could you help me with that?
By the way, John and I are just two kids with love in our hearts for Jesus. And our mission is to spread that love throughout Long Island, throughout New York, throughout the world. And we hope we're doing it. And Jesus is just waiting for us to go to him in his open arms.
And I also want to mention, because it's a person behind the scenes, Trevor Vassell. Trevor Vassell. I want you to know that name. He's the engineer who sits across from us behind that window and plays the music that we want him to play. And without Trevor, this show would just not work.
Thank you, Trevor.
Yeah.
We love you, Trevor. No candy, but we love you.
And now we want to just put the...
Go ahead. I just want to announce that, you know, we do get mails, we do get petitions through the emails, and we get comments, and people are sending us their notes. And I got one from a listener in Brooklyn that was, you know, rather touching, and he says, this morning at the Wycliffe Heights Medical Center at the pastoral office, I heard your program. And this afternoon at 3:19 p.m., praying over the Bible, I got this message concerning your program and these verses. Follow Jesus, led in the Spirit, Luke 1:50. You will see much. Greater things, led in the Spirit, to Matthew 5:14. You are the light. Of the Word, led in the Spirit, Matthew 4:23. Proclaim the good news. And that sort of sums up what we're trying to do. And so thank you so much, Benedict. We love you and we appreciate your comments.
And one other thing, just before we get into the song that we'd like to play now, we believe in our hearts that if you open yourself up to Jesus and speak to him, he'll touch you, he'll speak back, he'll enlighten you, he'll change you. And that's what our theme song for the day is going to be. And having Al here is such a blessing. So we're going to ask Have you talked to him today?
Did you talk to him today?
All right. And this is a tearjerker.
It's a great piece.
Did you talk to him today? Did you say what's in your heart? Did you tell him all the things that are tearing you apart? Did you think to ask
he wants us to bother him. I think that's exactly what
how do you know that?
About.
How do you know that? How do you know God? How do you know you're talking to God?
How do I know I'm talking to God? Well, God speaks to us in the silence, and many a times, you know, we just feel it always has to be activity around us, you know, because we're so
so conditioned to so much distraction and ongoing interruption. But the spirit of God is vastly different from this human life that we're living. And we just need to segment that time of day or throughout the day and just give it all to them. And how do I know I'm talking to them? I know I'm talking to
them. That's God.
I don't have to give you the answer on that one.
Well, I have proof. How's that? I've got proof.
You tell me.
After my second wife died, and I was really in the depths of grief, all alone, like you said, in the quiet, in the stillness, I said to God, my first wife died of a brain aneurysm, and my second wife died of a brain tumor. So I asked him, what should I do if there's ever the possibility of a third Mrs. Palmer? And he answered me. You know what he said?
I'm waiting.
If there's ever the possibility of a third Mrs. Palmer, tell her to get a head examined.
That's a good one.
It broke me out of grief.
Yeah.
It broke me out of deep grief. And that's the way God works. He'll surprise you. He'll touch you. And he'll wake you out of wherever you are. And bring you closer. I know all these people who are listening, Tony, and all these people have troubles and trials and tribulations, and they say, well, what do I do with them? We just talk to God.
Bring them to God.
Yes.
Just bring them to Jesus. He's there waiting for you. Our God is down at our level, waiting for us to give him our problems. And you know what? He'll take them. He'll give you peace. He'll relieve you. And you'll see.
Surrender. Surrender. Yeah. That's the key word.
But you kind of focus on another way into Jesus, and that's through Mary, through your experience with her in your life. Could you talk a little bit about that?
With great pleasure. I've always been devoted to our Blessed Mother, and I think it had a lot to do with the fact of going to Catholic school. And Mary was always a very key figure in our lives, even at home, as a child praying the rosary, going to Marian devotions and so on. But I think back when I was a child and I saw Our Lady of Fatima, I was like so majorly inspired by the fact of Our Lady appearing on earth, and I said, wow, this would be awesome if I could ever see Our Lady. And lo and behold, when I found out that Our Lady was appearing, allegedly appearing, and still is, I have to say the word.
Recognized Medjugorje.
Absolutely right. I agree with that. So, but for a period of 29 years of her alleged apparitions in Medjugorje, I felt so compelled to go there, and I did. And as a result of that, you know, like experience going there, it wasn't that I had a conversion, because I was always involved with church per se in the faith, but there was a deepening of faith, you know, and that has a lot to do with it for many of us. And lo and behold, as a result of going to Medjugorje, I went there 5 times. Actually, I'm overdue, but you know something? You don't have to go to Medjugorje. You don't have to go to Guadalupe. You don't have to go to Fatima and so on. Our Lady is saying one simple thing. Return your lives to Jesus and pray. Medjugorje, Guadalupe, every concept of our faith is right in our own backyard, in our own church. You go to the Eucharist, that's the message. You do not have to go anywhere. Just listen to what she's saying and surrender. I called her the insurance agent. Our Lady is the insurance agent for all of her children, and her concern is to have that of life eternal. That's her concern. We all feel very good when we have protection and insurance on our cars, which we have no choice but to do, for our televisions, for our microwaves, for whatever. We have insurance, we're protected. But what insurance do we have for life eternal?
And that's, what Our Lady is directing us to?
Through her son, Jesus.
Amen. That's exactly. Now, that's the message of Our Lady.
Now, is that the focus? You've done, I don't know, thousands of retreats and missions throughout.
Not quite thousands.
Well, I'm exaggerating a little maybe, but you've done so many.
Yeah.
You've not only done them in the diocese, you've done them all over Long Island, all over Brooklyn, all over the world.
Yeah.
What's your focus on doing these missions? What are you focusing on? What do you hope to accomplish by doing these missions?
Very good question, Tony. When I go to a parish, and especially doing the parish mission retreats, you know, I'm no theologian, obviously I'm not a priest, I'm just Joe Schmo. I'm a lay person, just like everyone else, the majority of the people. And the focus is for people to know that Jesus is always with us in the Eucharist.
Amen.
And so many times we as a people of God, we as a Catholic people do not really put the amount of focus and attention on Jesus in the Eucharist. Listen, everyone who's listening and everyone who's not listening, everyone has a cross. Many of us have crosses, you know, like heavy sufferings and burdens to carry. And right now there are some that individual family members and friends of mine that are just triggering through my mind. And
you bring them to the
Eucharist. I shouldn't have said that.
Well, that's all right. But you bring them to the Eucharist. You know what I tell people, though, too, when they go to Jesus? He won't take your problems away. He'll just help you to work through them.
Exactly.
He carries you over the storm. I always think of the time that he was in the boat with the apostles, and the boat was going to sink, and he was asleep.
Focus on
him. And they woke him up.
Yeah.
And he said, "Why are you concerned?" And he slowed down the wind.
Exactly.
And he just got rid of the storm. That's what he does with me in my life. He's that
absolute
person.
All right. And that's exactly an answer to your question, Tony, the focus. When Jesus said, "I am always with you," what did he mean? His message was a very simple one. He is always with us in the Eucharist. We who were parents and grandparents, I always say, we love our children so much. What do we tell them? If ever you're in need, as a child, even when they're married, we tell them this. If ever you're in need of anything, you know, come to mom, come to dad. We're always here for you. You know that. And you don't want to suffocate them with that either. But that's exactly what our Lord is saying. I am always with you. You who are heavily burdened, come to me. It's so simple. So we're in times of trouble. We're carrying the cross or crosses. What do? Receive him in the Eucharist as often as possible. Go to him before the Blessed Sacrament if you can't go to daily Mass. But that's what he expects us to do. I'm always with you. I will never leave you.
So you hear what Al's saying, everybody? Jesus is saying, come back to me. I am always with you.
Yes.
So come back to Jesus.
Yeah. And you know something, something that just triggered in my mind. In one of the key points of Our Lady's apparitions in Medjugorje, the alleged apparitions, what did Our Lady say? Which is most amazing. She says, "I have come to tell you that God exists." You know, if you ask anyone, "Do you believe in God?" "Oh, yeah, I believe in God." "Do you love God?" "Yes, I love God." But you know, so many times we say things and we're not even mindful of what we're saying. We say the Lord's Prayer and "forgive us our trespasses, and we forgive those who trespass against us." Many of us have great difficulty in forgiving others, but we'll shoot that prayer out of our mouths, out of our lips. "And forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who trespass against us," without even realizing what we're saying. So even at that, "Oh, I love God, yes, I know God." But Our Lady, in very simple words of Medjugorje, has said, "I've come to tell you that God exists." How awesome is that? And the most simplistic of things are the most profound, to say the least.
You know, you guys are very, very, very certain and relaxed with your presence and awareness of God. And I remember sometimes driving in my car and saying, and hearing, you know, don't you trust me, John? And I say, you know, Jesus, I trust you, but I'm not so sure about me. Because I lose it. You know, when we talk about trust, those of you out there who are listening, you'll have it for a while and then it goes away. And I finally ask them, what are you doing? Why do you do that? Why do you just, you're with me, you fill me up, and then you disappear? Mm-hmm. He said, I just want to see how you can do on your own. Well, yes, you know how I do on my own. Can't you help me all the time?
Yeah.
He said, if I helped you all the time, you would be my slave. And I don't want you to be a slave. I want you to be my friend.
Amen.
And that's mm-hmm. something that we really have to work on. And Mary Ellen just
Hey, look who just walked in. Mary Ann Ellen.
Shining star. Mary Ann Sheridan.
Sheridan.
Did you get lost, Mary Ann?
No, not at all.
Come on over to the microphone. Don't move. Just move in close.
No, actually, I got stuck coming over the Throgs Neck Bridge.
Oh.
It was very windy, and the trucks were zooming, and boom.
Well, so, Mary Ann, welcome to our play day.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to have you.
I appreciate being here.
And Mary Ann runs the programs for young adults and youth in our diocese, right?
And Campus Ministries as well.
Campus Ministries. Good. Now, tell us a little about yourself. We've had this guy talk for a while, and we just reversed the order.
Now, we'll come back.
But tell us a little bit about you.
As my ministry in Rockville Center now, mm-hmm. I actually am new to Rockville Center. I just arrived with this position in August.
Well, actually, it's really about you and your relationship with God. That's what we want.
That's easy. That I don't need.
Just come close. That's fine.
Just put your mouth next to it.
Just put my mouth next to it. And now everyone's like listening to me stammer over there.
Sorry.
So, actually, I was praying about this the whole way over. I'm like, oh, God, please. You got to get me over this. Because I said yes to it. You know how it's one of those things that you say yes to, and then you think about it. It's like, what did I get myself into?
Welcome to the club.
No, in my life, God has always been so good. He's been the one to guide me and his mother. And I'm just going to give you an example of, because, John, you asked me this question the other day, and it actually stuck with me. You said to me, Mary, how can we get our young people to really, really want to be with Mary, to have Mary be the center of their life? And I really thought about that. I'm like, gee, I have to think about this. And yesterday I did a talk at a school, and with little ones, little four-year-olds and fourth graders, and they were going to do something for the homeless. And I put it out to them there. I said, you know what you could do? You could pray. And I brought them rosary beads, and I explained the whole thing and their relationship with Mary, like your mommy, you know how you run to your mommy all the time? And they got it, and then I got it. That's where you have to start.
She's your mom.
Right. You have to start little like that. At first, your question to me really was like, I don't know. Let me see. I'm talking with the young, but, you know. The little guys, they made me get it. So, for you, I appreciate that, because that question stuck with me the whole week.
You know, Mary Ellen, if I may mm-hmm. say this, very often, many times, you'll hear people say, oh, I wish I had more time to pray. My day is so consumed and this and that. And everybody seems to be so busy, even if they're not working these days. Everybody's so busy with time. But when I speak to people, I always try to impress upon them a prayer is taking whatever you are doing in the course of that day and sharing it with God. And whatever you are doing, I mean, if it's formal prayer, if it's working, driving, whatever, you share that segment of the day mm-hmm. with God, and that becomes a prayer automatically. And that's a great way to show youngsters, I mean, just filling that in their head, and it gives them like a closeness to God, that he becomes part of their lives on a daily basis, not just going to church if they should be going to Mass on Sunday. You know, we have a tendency of compartmentalizing everything in our lives, but that's a great thing, and I like what you said, you know, with Mommy and Mary.
And I'm going to have to interrupt, because we do have a little segment on our show called Saints Alive, and Tony is going to do Maria Goretti, and I'm speaking.
I love Maria Goretti. Love her.
Great message.
I want to preface this just very quickly.
When we selected St. Maria Goretti, this was months ago. We had no idea you were going to be on the show that day. We had no idea that that was your favorite saint.
I absolutely love
you. So I am so honored. And this just didn't happen. This is an honor of you. So St. Maria Goretti is probably one of the youngest saints that were ever canonized. She became, she was 12 years old. She comes from Italy, from a poor family. And her father died at a very young age. And at that time, she was very devoted to God. She, like St. Agnes, gave herself to Jesus at a very early age. As a matter of fact, Pope Pius XII, at her canonization, said that St. Maria Goretti is the modern-day St. Agnes because of the way she died. She was 11 years old, and so they were so poor they had to take people in to work with them and help them. And one of their father's friend's son, Alessandro, always had an eye on Maria and always tried to proposition her. And one day, he actually attacked her. She was sitting by herself, lonely, and she absolutely resisted him. And he got angry, and he stabbed her. And he stabbed her, and he stabbed her. And she was rushed to the hospital, and the doctors tried to do as much as they could, but they couldn't save her. And her last words were, before she died, was that she forgave Alessandro. And her fondest wish was that he would be with her in heaven. And so, in reflecting back, Alessandro was caught. He was sentenced to 30 years. She forgave Alessandro. He was hardened. He did not repent. Until finally, he did repent, and he was relieved. And at her canonization, he was there, and he gave witness to what had happened and about her forgiveness. And as I reflect the readings for tomorrow, every reading, the first reading, the second reading, the gospel, tells us that Jesus is telling us to forgive our enemies, to forgive our prosecutors, to forgive, forgive, forgive. And so I just relate this so clearly to Maria, who forgave her attacker and forgave her murderer.
And that's the core, Tony, of healing. If you're going to be healed emotionally, you're not going to be healed until in your heart you forgive. And that's hard to do. Can you imagine? She was raped and killed and forgave her attacker.
Well, at such a young age, 12 years old. And so that's the quick story of Maria Goretti. And she's given many, many miracles. She's the patron saint of the youth. And it would serve the youth well to learn the life of, yes, a great role model for St. Maria Goretti.
That was the first saint I ever read about.
Was it?
Awesome. I still have the book.
So this was no
time ago.
So this was no coincidence, Mary, you know, and positive.
And we have another person who heals. That's Our Lady of Guadalupe.
And
that's the
song.
Okay.
Well, God, the Blessed Mother. Isn't that beautiful? Does anyone have a tissue? By the way, Palmer, I want you to know one thing. Rail Marines cry. Rail Marines love.
But they don't give candy.
Rail Marines give candy on Valentine's Day. So remember that. And by the way, I fell in love with Al the first moment I heard him sing, maybe 12, 15 years ago. And I still cry, but I am. It's amazing.
Right. And you know, what do you do? How do you do this?
But you don't know the story I'm going to tell you, Al. So my wife and
I want to tell people that next year, or the end of the year, John Palm is going to have his own CD with his own live voice.
That's only so you can talk over me.
My wife and I, years ago, were looking for a home, and we didn't know where to go and what to do, and it was really a tough time. And we were in Reister's Bakery in Garden City, and we do believe they started playing your record, Holy Ground.
Oh, my God.
And we made a decision based on that.
It just gave me chills.
That's the truth. That's
oh,
the truth.
Great God.
And you know, Marianne, when we talk about going to the Blessed Mother and asking for her to lead, that's what we want our young people to know.
Yeah.
That they can come to her and she'll be there for her. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do with your ministry?
Are you going to ask me a question?
Next question I was going to ask you was about the World's Youth Day, but let's hear about what you have to say.
Okay. I guess we'll start with, you see, I'm still new here, but what I'm trying to do is connect the youth with the young adults and the campus ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the key to it. Because, actually, I'm just going to give you a little quick thing about last night. You know the Holy Hour was in the seminary?
Mm-hmm.
You would think that there was a rock concert going on last night. The doors, there were like hundreds and hundreds of people because they hadn't had it in December and they hadn't had it in January. So these people were like on a fix. It's like, oh, I gotta get in there. Poor Rosemary opened the door and she nearly got knocked down by all these young people. And it's young people, it's the youth, it's the young adults, it's older people, younger people. There for the adoration. There are so many other things they could be doing on a Friday night.
Oh.
But to be there and to see them, and they were craving it, and in praise and worship. It's just that's really what I'm trying to do. Just get them all connected to see you are all part of the church. You are part of we need you, and they need to know that.
And aren't they hungry?
I'm telling you, John, if you had seen this, it was like a rock concert. They had to get in there. They had to get in.
That's great.
I mean,
isn't that wonderful?
It was beautiful. It really was. Talk about crying. Yes.
I
like a man who can cry. I think it's a great thing. Shows emotion. I like it. That's really what I'm trying to do. I'm really trying to connect. Like, I have, like, the campus ministers now going out to some of the youth groups and talking to them and making that connection.
And that's so important. The youth the youth is the foundation of our religion. It's the foundation of our love to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And if they stay, and when they're the youth, they're going to stay with us forever.
Right.
Because when they leave the church, they leave around 18, 17, 18.
That's a confirmation.
Yeah, and so your job is so important. I praise Jesus and thank him for you doing this.
Listen, I thank God every day for allowing me to be part of this ministry. I really do. You know what? People go to work and they complain they're going to work. They're going, I said, I love it.
Yeah.
This is just who I am. I just love it. It's not my job or my work.
That's the best of two worlds.
Just love it, yes.
So now tell us about this World Youth.
Oh, the World Youth Day. Okay, yeah. We have now in Rockville Center, we have over 200 pilgrims going right now.
It's going to be in August.
Pilgrims. This is August 14th through the 22nd.
And I think St. Catherine is going to participate.
Yes, there are 32 parishes at this point
that are participating
in World Youth Day.
Yes.
All young people, all different ages. It's really beautiful. We actually have events coming up.
So tell me, if I had a daughter or son, why would I send her to this World Youth Day? How is she going to be, he or she going to be chaperoned? How's this going to work?
Now, your question was, why would you send them?
Would it be okay to send them? Are they going to be chaperoned?
Absolutely, there are chaperones. For each one of the parishes, they have to have a chaperone. And then for the ones like the young adults, we have priests, we have other young like campus ministers who are going to be chaperoning them. Oh yeah, they'll be fine. Are you kidding? We're a family.
And Jesus will be there with them.
I was just going to say, come on.
And so they can't happen at all. Right, absolutely.
And now I'm going to have to interrupt again because we have another segment on our show, and that's called The Healers of the Day. And we're going to start this, though, differently. Because Al, in this beautiful song, good morning, my child.
Good morning, my child. Jesus speaking to us.
Another kid.
Those who are waiting for healing. Listen, Jesus is going to talk to you.
Good morning, my child. And call out my name, and I'll
was sent home from the hospital. She had cancer and had had surgery, and her whole breast and the whole chest plate was covered with clamps. And she was at home crying, and she saw Catherine Kuhlman, a woman, a Protestant woman who had wonderful healing ministry, on television saying, "Come down, come down, come down. If you want to be healed, come down." And she called the doctor and said, "Can I go down to this ceremony?" And he said, "If you walk, you're going to open your wounds and you'll bleed to death." But she said, "I'm going to die anyway." So she went down to Catherine Kuhlman's healing service. She tried to get in. It was sold out. And she was so disheartened. She cried, "Jesus, help." And two friends came out at that moment and said, "You know, Sarah, why are you here?" And they told them, "Why don't you go take our seats?" So she had to walk up to the balcony. And as she was walking up and looking down, she was bleeding. And she sat in that open seat. And at that moment, Catherine Kuhlman said, "There's a woman in the balcony with cancer, and she's being healed right at this moment." And she said, "What happened is that it was like a whole cloud came over. A whole cloud came over. And she was like electricity. She was knocked down. And she felt heat, but she didn't know what it meant." And Catherine Kuhlman said, "Come down now, come down. And I want you to testify to this." And she didn't want to do that. And she heard inside of us, "I'm just healing you of your cancer, and you're not going to come down and give testimony." So she did. To make a long story short, she was healed so completely that the skin grew back over the clamps. And Catherine Kuhlman asked her to be part of a healing ministry. And Sarah said, "I'm not a healer." She said, "Yes, you are." And shortly thereafter, Catherine Kuhlman died. And Father Diorio was going out to do a healing service with her. And he called Sarah. "Would you help me?" And she said, "Father, I'm not a healer. Would you help me?" She said, "The line's going to be out the door in front of you, and there's going to be nobody in front of me." He said, "That's all right, come. I heard your name in prayer." So she did. And yeah, the line was out the door, and she was there with nobody. Finally, this man with a girl the size of a grapefruit on the side of his face came up to her and said, "Would you pray for me?" And she didn't know what to do. She put her hand on his face and she said, "Jesus, please heal me." And the grapefruit shrunk and disappeared at that very moment. And all the people that were on Father Diorio's line came over to hug.
I know.
Wow. God heals. How, when, where, we don't know. God heals. And you know, we have a lot of petitions that have come in. And we have a little tradition, and we're going to ask Trevor to play that song again as we go on, because we're going to stop and pray for petitions. Now, just hold hands around the table, and those of you who are at home, you heard that wonderful story. We know that you're wondering, am I the one to be healed? And whether you're healed physically, spiritually, emotionally, you know that God is touching you. Those of you who are ill and suffering from serious illnesses, and Liz with Tiari and so many others with heart disease and all different cancers, we ask you, place your physical illness in Jesus' hands now and ask him to touch you. Ask him to heal you. He may not take your illness away, but he will help you deal with it. All of you who are in broken relationships and marriages, and you say, "I don't love her anymore. I like her, but I don't love her." Jesus, we ask you to tell those people who feel just that way, love is not feelings. Love is a decision. You decide to love. Heal those people who are in broken relationships, Lord. We ask you to touch them. And everyone around the table, if you have things you want to offer up in petition,
We ask you now to do that. Praise Jesus. Touch the people. I was told in praying over the petitions just before we began the program. I am healing those who are in depression, who are outside listening and wondering, how am I ever going to get rid of these depressed feelings? I am the way. I am truth. To me, and I'll take you out of your depression. I'll lift you up, even if it's just for a few moments. I'll lift you up. I'll lift you up. You are my friend. Do you think I want to see you down in despair? I am the antidote for despair. I don't tell you to stop taking your Prozac. I tell you, use me in a court and in association with all the medicines that the doctors give you. I will take you and lift your heart and help you. There are those who are out of work and those who have been out of work for a long time. And we tell you, the words I hear, hold on, my friends. The financial depression in your country is worldwide. Do I not provide food? Did I not provide food for those who are with me? The loaves and the fish. I will provide. And I know you say, well, how, Lord? I will provide. I will open doors. You may not make the same money you have been making, but I'll open doors to you. I really will. You have to ask. You have to come to me and open your heart and say, Jesus, help me. And if you can't come to me, if you feel that you've been sinning and not able to come to me, ask my mother for help. And Lord, we pray for all of those people who have left our church, that you inspire them to return to the sacrament of reconciliation, so that any obstacles that are in the way of their coming back to you, Lord, we ask you to freeze them by your forgiveness. And anyone who needs forgiveness of others or to forgive others, we ask that you give them that grace now. And most importantly, bring all of our friends back to your true presence in the Eucharist, because we know, Lord, that's where healing lies. Every Mass is a healing service. Every Mass is a gift of love. And we thank you, Lord, for reminding us of that now during this time. Yes, please bring the youth back, Lord. Bring the young people back. It's so wonderful to hear them filled with your presence at an adoration ceremony, fighting like a rock concert to get into it. Bless Mary Ann and her work. I'm repeating them, Tony, because you're not on mic. Okay. We're going to just end our show with a little upbeat song. And Trevor, if you can put the next song on, we want you to go out happy. It should come up. No,
this is a great Spanish piece, giving glory and praise to our Lord. Glory and praise. Alabaré, alabaré, alabaré a mi Señor.
Praise God. You're saying, and if it isn't, we'll sing it. We'll have you sing it. And we have the Spanish group that's coming in after us. Is that on there, Trevor? All right. Alabaré, alabaré,
alabaré a mi Señor, alabaré. Redimidos y todos alabaman al Señor.
Hey, there it is. Alabaré. The angels found it, Trevor.
Cheer up, friend. An old philosopher said, cheer up, things can get worse. So I cheered up, and sure enough, things got worse. And by the way, we'll be at the Holy Spirit Church tonight. Al, John, and myself.
thank you, Jesus, for bringing everybody here.
I want to tell you this, the song that you're listening to, Alaba Days, the Friars are singing with me too, Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. So those are the added voices that you hear. My buddies.
Those are my buddies. Oh.
All right.
WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Seaboy.